This is Bob Martin for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Welcome to the Poetry Corner of the Bookshelf.
And this is Michael Martin. I'm going to be helping bring you some poetry, not about children from an adult's remembrances, but poetry about children and to children as children. We're going to share some poems that I grew up with and then repeated to my children, and some other poems that were new to my generation. Welcome to the Poetry Corner.
And we're starting off with the music from one of my favorite Saturday morning shows when I was a kid, Big John and Sparky, the theme written by John Walter Bratton in 1907, The Teddy Bear's Picnic. After Dr. Seuss completed The Cat in the Hat, which used 236 words, his publisher, Bennett Cerf, bet him that he couldn't write a book using just 50 words. Well, he did. And in 1960, Green Eggs and Ham was printed. Green Eggs and Ham. I am Sam. I am Sam. Sam I am.
That's Sam I am. That's Sam I am. I do not like that Sam I am.
Do you like green eggs and ham?
I do not like them, Sam I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Would you like them here or there?
I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am.
Would you like them in a house? Would you like them with a mouse?
I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am.
Would you eat them in a box? Would you eat them with a fox?
Not in a box, not with a fox, not in a house, not with a mouse. I would not eat them here or there. I would not eat them anywhere. I would not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am.
Would you, could you, in a car, eat them, here they are.
I would not, could not in a car.
You may like them, you will see. You may like them in a tree.
I would not, could not in a tree, not in a car, you let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am.
A train, a train, a train, a train. Could you, would you, on a train?
Not on a train, not in a tree, not in a car, Sam, let me be. I would not, could not in a box. I could not, would not with a fox. I will not eat them with a mouse. I will not eat them in a house. I will not eat them here or there. I will not eat them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am.
Say, in the dark, here in the dark, would you, could you, in the dark?
I would not, could not in the dark.
Would you, could you, in the rain?
I would not, could not, in the rain. Not in the dark, not on a train, not in a car, not in a tree. I do not like them, Sam, you see. Not in a house, not in a box, not with a mouse, not with a fox. I will not eat them here or there. I do not like them anywhere.
You do not like green eggs and ham?
I do not like them, Sam, I am.
Could you, would you, with a goat?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
Would you, could you, on a boat?
I could not, would not, on a boat. I will not, with a goat. I will not eat them in the rain. I will not eat them on a train. Not in the dark, not in a tree, not in a car. You let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am.
You do not like them, so you say. Oh, try them, and you may. Try them, and you may, I say.
Sam, if you will let me be, I will try them. You will see. Say, I like green eggs and ham. I do. I like them, Sam, I am. And I would eat them in a boat. And I would eat them with a goat. And I will eat them in the rain, and in the dark, and on a train, and in a car, and in a tree. They are so good, you see. So I will eat them in a box, and I will eat them with a fox, and I will eat them in a house, and I will eat them with a mouse, and I will eat them here and there. Say, I will eat them anywhere. I do so like green eggs and ham. Thank you. Thank you, Sam, I am.
In looking back to Mother Goose, Some of the children's favorite poems were hand-clapping games also, as in this one.
Peas porridge hot, peas porridge cold, peas porridge in the pot, 9 days old. Some like it hot, some like it cold, some like it in the pot, 9 days old.
And it didn't take much to turn the clapping game into a tickling game with an infant. Many versions have been written of the following verse, one dating back to 1698. Here is one of those versions.
Patty cake, baker's man, bake me a cake as fast as you can. Roll it and shape it and mark it with B and put it in the oven for baby and me.
Perhaps one of the most well-known children's tickling poems was one written by Rose Bond and Alan Mills, later also becoming a very popular song. You can remember those times when you're doing it with a little one and the little hands were working around in circles and a big grin on the face, halfway trying to keep the tickling away and yet fully expecting and waiting for it. I know an old lady.
I know an old lady who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed the fly. Perhaps she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly, but I don't know why she swallowed the fly. Perhaps she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a bird. How absurd to swallow a bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly, but I don't know why she swallowed the fly. Perhaps she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a cat. Imagine that. She swallowed a cat. She swallowed the cat to catch the bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly, but I don't know why she swallowed that fly. Perhaps she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a dog. What a hog to swallow a dog. She swallowed the dog to catch the cat. She swallowed the cat to catch the bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly. But I don't know why she swallowed that fly. Perhaps she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a goat, opened her throat, and down went the goat. She swallowed the goat to catch the dog. She swallowed the dog to catch the cat. She swallowed the cat to catch the bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly, but I don't know why she swallowed that fly. Perhaps she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a cow. I don't know how she swallowed the cow. She swallowed the cow to catch the goat. She swallowed the goat to catch the dog. She swallowed the dog to catch the cat. She swallowed the cat to catch the bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly, but I don't know why she swallowed that fly. Perhaps she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a horse. Well, she's dead, of course.
Our next author is Carmel Wilson. She was born and raised in Idaho without the benefit of much television, so her favorite pastime was reading. Later on, that interest in reading to her own children was broadened into writing children's books. She has several stories featuring bears. This one is entitled Bear Once More.
When springtime comes in his warm winter den, a bear wakes up, very hungry and thin. He waddles outside and roots all around. He digs and he paws fresh shoots from the ground. He nibbles on his lawn till the last blade's gone. But the bear wants more. Mouse scampers by with his acorn pail. Come along, Mouse squeaks, to Strawberry Vale. So up Mouse hops on Bear's big back. They tramp through the woods for a fresh fruit snack. The berries grow sweet and they eat, eat, eat. But Bear wants more. The noon sun glows when the long hop's hair. Good day, friend Mouse. How do, friend Bear? I'm hungry, roars Bear. Hare says, follow me. There's a fresh clover patch by the cottonwood tree. They nibble on their lunch with a crunch, crunch, crunch. But the bear wants more. Badger shuffles by with his new fishing pole. There's a fine fish feast at the old fishing hole. They head to the pond and they sit by the shore. Bear catches fish, but he still wants more. Meanwhile, back at the bear's big den, wait Gopher and Mole with Raven and Wren. They bake honey cakes, they decorate the lair. It's a springtime party for their good friend Bear. Bear rubs his tummy. He smells something yummy. And he still wants more. Bear sniffs and he snuffles as a sweet breeze blows. He romps to his home. He follows his nose. His friends yell surprise when he gets to his den. But Bear's so big that he can't fit in. Bear wails, what luck, I'm stuck in my own front door. Mouse squeaks, poor Bear, he's wedged too tight. Hare tugs, Raven pushes with all of their might. Badger gets a stick and he pries so hard that Bear pops out and he lands in his yard. Since Bear is so wide, they party outside and he still wants more. Bear opens presents, he gobbles honey cakes, he eats so much that his big tummy aches. He snuggles in the grass, and he snores big snores. He is full, but his friends want more.
This next piece was inspired by a visit to the Vancouver, British Columbia Aquarium, where there was an exhibit of a beluga whale named Kavna. This is by Raffi, Baby Beluga.
Baby beluga in the deep blue sea, swim so wild and you swim so free. Heaven above and the sea below and a little white whale on the go. Baby beluga, is the water warm? Is your mama home with you so happy? Way down yonder where the dolphins play, where you dive and splash all day. Waves roll in and the waves roll out. See the water squirting out of your spout. Baby beluga, oh baby beluga, sing your little song. Sing for all your friends. We like to hear you. When it's dark, you're home and fed. Curl up snug in your water bed. Moon is shining and the stars are out. Good night, little whale. Good night. Baby beluga, oh baby beluga, with tomorrow's sun, another day's begun. You'll soon be waking. Baby beluga in the deep blue sea, swim so wild and you swim so free. Heaven above and a sea below and a little white whale on the go. You're just a little white whale on the go.
The name Raffi may not be familiar to you, but one of his other works may well be if you've ever been around school children. The poem was originally written by Paul Zielinski and then recorded and sung by Raffi. The wheels on the bus.
The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round, all round the town. The wipers on the bus go swish, 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 swish. The wipers on the bus go swish, 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 all round the town. The driver on the bus goes move on back, move on back. Move on back. The driver on the bus goes, move on back, all round the town. The people on the bus go up and down, up and down, up and down. The people on the bus go up and down, all round the town. The horn on the bus goes beep, 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 beep. The horn on the bus goes beep, 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 all round the town. The baby on the bus goes wah, 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 wah. The baby on the bus goes wah, 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 all round the town. Now the parents on the bus go shh, 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 shh. The parents on the bus go shh, 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 all round the town.
Most children seem fascinated by the things that live in the sea. This next piece might be like a visit to the aquarium. Commotion in the Ocean by Giles Andrea and David Wachowicz.
There's a curious commotion at the bottom of the ocean. I think we ought to go and take a look. You'll find every sort of creature that lives beneath the sea swimming through the pages of this book. There are dolphins, whales, and penguins. There are jellyfish and sharks. There's the turtle and the big white polar bear. But can you see behind the wrecks and in between the rocks? Let's take a look and find who's hiding there. Crab. The crab likes walking sideways, and I think the reason why is to make himself look sneaky and pretend that he's a spy. Turtles. We crawl up the beach from the water to bury our eggs on dry land. We lay a whole batch, and then when they hatch, they scamper about in the sand. Dolphins. The wonderful thing about dolphins is hearing them trying to speak. It's not how do you do, as I'd say to you. It's more of a click, whistle, squeak. Angelfish. Hello, I'm the angelfish, darling, the prettiest thing in the sea. What a shame there are no other creatures as gorgeous and lovely as me. Jellyfish. The jellyfish just loves to jiggle, which other fish think is quite dumb. She knows that it's not all that useful, but jiggling is lots of good fun. Shark. I swim with a grin up to greet you. See how my jaws open wide? Why don't you come a bit closer? Please, take a good look inside. Swordfish. I love to chase after small fishes. It keeps me from getting too bored. And then when I start feeling hungry, I skewer a few on my sword. Octopus. Having 8 arms can be useful. You may think it looks a bit funny, but it helps me to hold all my children and tickle each one on the tummy. Stingray. At the bottom of the ocean, the stingray flaps his wings. But don't you get too close to him. His tail really stings. Lobster. Never shake hands with a lobster. It isn't a wise thing to do. With a clippity-clap and a snippity-snap, he would snip all your fingers in two. Blue whale. There's no other beast on the planet as big as the giant blue whale. He measures a massive 100 feet long from his head to the tip of his tail. Barnacles. We're just a bunch of barnacles, and all we do is cling. We know it's not that glamorous, but it's our favorite thing. Walruses. Our bodies are covered with blubber. Our tusks are incredibly long. We're grumpy and proud, and we bellow out loud to show that we're mighty and strong. Penguins. We waddle around on our icebergs, which makes our feet slither and slide. And when we get close to the water, we leap with a splash off the side. Polar bears. Deep out in the Arctic, the mommy polar bear snuggles up with all her children since it's very cold out there. What a lot of creatures we have seen beneath the sea. What a lot of funny things they do. Some of them might lick their lips and eat you in one bite, and some might want to swim around with you. The dolphin's very friendly, the lobster's very fierce, but the shark is the most dangerous by far. Can you name the other friends we've made along the way? See if you can tell me who they are.
Chicago-born writer Shel Silverstein was the author of the popular prose story Lafcadio, the Lion Who Shot Back. He also had some poetic stories directed at children. Remember the tickling games we mentioned before? Here's a poem reminiscent of that, entitled Ickle Me, Pickle Me, Tickle Me Too.
Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too, went for a ride in a flying shoe. Hooray, what fun, it's time we flew, said Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too. Ickle was captain, and Pickle was crew, and Tickle served coffee and mulligan stew. As higher and higher and higher they flew, Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too. Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too, over the sun and beyond the blue. Hold on, stay in, I hope we do, cried Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too. Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too, never returned to the world they knew, and nobody knows what's happened to dear Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too.
And if you happen to visit the classroom on a day they were singing The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round, you may also have heard the boa constrictor.
Oh, I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor. I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, and I don't like it one bit. Well, what do you know? It's nibbling my toe. Oh, gee, it's up to my knee. Oh, my, it's up to my thigh. Oh, fiddle, it's up to my middle. Oh, heck, it's up to my neck. Oh, dread, it's up to...
Besides the wheels on the bus and the boa constrictor, one of the other things the children learned at school was their arithmetic. Here's learning about the numbers with the courtesy of the Funny Little Monkey.
One little monkey was going to the store when he saw a banana three that he never climbed before. By 5 o'clock that evening, he was six with stomach ache, 'cause seven green bananas was what that monkey ate. By 9 o'clock that evening, the monkey was quite ill, so 10 we called the doctor, who was 11 on the hill. The doctor said, "You're almost dead. Don't eat green bananas no more." That sick little monkey groaned and said, "But that's what I went to the tree for."
And after he's learned his numbers in school, he has to show off. So, here's an exercise to prove to everybody else how smart you are.
My dad gave me $1 bill, 'cause I'm his smartest son, and I swapped it for two shiny quarters, 'cause two is more than one. And then I took the quarters and traded them to Lou for three dimes. I guess he don't know that three is more than two. Just then along came old blind Bates, and just 'cause he can't see, he gave me four nickels for my three dimes, and four is more than three. And I took the nickels to Hiram Coombs down at the seed feed store, and the fool gave me five pennies for them, and five is more than four. And then I went and showed my dad, and he got red in the cheeks, and closed his eyes and shook his head, too proud of me to speak.
Silverstein's poems had a unique way of looking at children's problems. It might be described best as coming from a child's perspective or fears, like going to the dentist. The crocodile toothache.
The crocodile went to the dentist and sat down in the chair. And the dentist said, "Now tell me, sir, why does it hurt and where?" And the crocodile said, "I'll tell you the truth. I have a terrible ache in my tooth." And he opened his jaws so wide, that the dentist, he climbed right inside. And the dentist laughed, "Oh, isn't this fun?" And he pulled out his teeth one by one. And the crocodile cried, "You're hurting me so. Please put down your pliers and let me go." But the dentist laughed with a "ho, ho, ho." And he said, "I still have 12 to go. Oops, that's the wrong one, I confess. But what's one crocodile's tooth, more or less?" Then suddenly the jaws went snap, and the dentist was gone right off the map. And where he went, one could only guess, to north or south or east or west. He left no forwarding address. But what's one dentist, more or less?
Or times when you're trying to convince Mom and Dad that you just don't feel good enough to go to school.
"I cannot go to school today," said little Peggy Ann McKay. "I have the measles and the mumps, a gash, a rash, and purple bumps. My mouth is wet. My throat is dry. I'm going blind in my right eye. My tonsils are as big as rocks. I've counted 16 chicken pox. And there's one more. That's 17. And don't you think my face looks green? My leg is cut. My eyes are blue. It might be enstematic flu. I cough, I sneeze, I gasp, and choke. I'm sure that my left leg is broke. My hip hurts when I move my chin. My belly button's caving in. My back is wrenched, my ankle's sprained. My appendix pains each time it rains. My nose is cold. My toes are numb. I have a sliver in my thumb. My neck is stiff, my spine is weak. I hardly whisper when I speak. My tongue is filling up my mouth. I think my hair is falling out. My elbow's bent. My spine ain't straight. My temperature is 108. My brain is shrunk. I cannot hear. There is a hole inside my ear. I have a hangnail. My heart is..." "What? What's that? What's that you say? You say today is Saturday? Goodbye. I'm going out to play."
I think every parent at one time or another has walked into a child's situation to discover the entirely unexpected. And without thinking about it, you tend to ask, "What's been going on in here?" And you never cease to be amazed at the answers you might get, all of which concluded with the understanding that it wasn't my fault. The furniture bash.
The hand of the clock pinched the foot of the bed, so the foot of the bed kicked the seat of the chair, so the seat of the chair sat on the head of the table, so the head of the table bit the leg of the desk, so the leg of the desk bumped the arm of the couch. So the arm of the couch slapped the face of the clock. and they pinched, and they punched, and they banged, and they knocked, and they ripped, and they flipped, and they rolled, and they rocked. And the poor dresser drawer got a couple of socks. There was sawdust and springs when I turned on the light after that horrible furniture fight. And that's the truth. No lie, no joke. That's how your furniture all got broke.
Or the explanation to the wet spot in the bed. The snowball.
I made myself a snowball as perfect as could be. I thought I'd keep it as a pet and let it sleep with me. I made it some pajamas and a pillow for its head. Then last night it ran away, but first it wet my bed.
How about where imagination might take you when you visit the zoo?
I got grabbed by the elk and the caribou. They tied me up with a vine lasso and whisked me away to Animal Loo, where they locked me up in the people zoo. Now I'm here in a cage that is as small as can be. You can't let wild people just run around free. And I'm fed bread and tea at 2:45, and the animals all come and gander at me. They point, and they giggle, and sometimes they spit. There's bars on my cage, so they can't poke or hit. And they scream, "Do a trick!" But I stubbornly sit, not doing nothing but thinking a bit. So if you come visit, just howl, honk, or moo, and try to pretend you're an animal too. Because if you're a person, they'll throw you into cage 2 of the zoo here at Animal Loo.
And there's no child's imagination that is as piqued as it is with a scary story.
That story is creepy, it's wailey, it's weepy, it's screechy and screamy right up to the end. It's spooky, it's crawly, it's grisly, it's gory, it's the awfulest story. Please tell it again.
Which might just give rise to the mummy.
Wrapped myself in toilet paper, head to toe to tummy. Wrapped myself in toilet paper, thought that I'd be funny. Wrapped myself in toilet paper, thought they'd call me mummy. Wrapped myself in toilet paper, they just call me dummy.
But finally, every child wants to be mother's little helper.
The ham's on your pillow, the egg's in your sheet, the bran muffin's rolling down under your feet. There's milk in the mattress, there's juice on the spread. Well, you said that you wanted your breakfast in bed.
And another way he might be mother's little helper is by ensuring her health, by being the poison tester.
I'm poison tester, taster, true. I'm here to taste your food for you. Because you could die in half a minute if there's one drop of poison in it. That lemonade to quench your thirst, you'd better let me taste it first. It's okay, but these boysenberries, I'll make sure they're not poison berries. No, they're safe, but that burger might be deadly. No, it's all right. And now I'll test your hot fudge sundae. Let's hope I'm not dead by Monday. It seems okay, but the poison could be in the very last bite, so leave it to me. Well, it's all safe, and my job is through. See how I risked my life for you?
This is Bob Martin for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. And thank you for listening in to the Poetry Corner of the Bookshelf.
And this is Michael Martin. We have been bringing you some children's poetry, not about children from an adult's remembrances, but poetry about children and to children as children. We hope that you've enjoyed this show. And until next time, goodbye.